Lent's a time for reflecting as much as anything else. Lots of R words connected with Lent, reflect and repent and remember, we might say. And in the spirit of reflecting, I want to think with you just for a little while about that story from John's Gospel, John 8, and to ask a few questions and to help us to think together that way. The first question, which is a simple one, which is not written in the passage, but which is inspired by the very beginning of it, is, will you listen to Jesus? In this story, you see, people are crowding in to listen to Jesus. They always seem to, whether here in Jerusalem, in the temple courts, or back home in Galilee, there was this desperation and this eagerness to be close to Jesus and to be taught by Jesus. And we live in a world with overwhelming, competing sources of information of many kinds and of experts, at least they tell us they're experts, don't they, about everything. And it's so easy to listen to all sorts of people and listen to all sorts of things and forget to sit and to listen to Jesus and to hear what he's saying to us. I don't know how much you read the Bible. We're going to be thinking about reading the Bible together at our Lent breakfasts this year. I don't know how much you read other books about faith, I don't know how much time you sit in prayer. I don't know how much time you spend with other Christians talking together about the things you believe, but those four ways are really good and easy ways to allow Jesus to speak to you. And the more that I try, the more I realise that he speaks quite a lot more than I listen. Often we can come to Jesus because we have a problem. We need a solution. Someone else does. We come to Jesus to tell him something rather than to listen to him. We come and we can set the agenda. And I point out, and this is it's not exactly comfortable, but what the Pharisees are doing is the absolute extreme of that. They're setting the agenda. But if we pick up the Bible and we read, God speaks to us, and if we read our way through systematically, God sets the agenda. If we sit down determined to listen to God, and I can promise you that I am, you know, second to none in my ability to be distracted. I know what it's like. But if we sit down and we listen to God, he speaks to us and he sets the agenda. If we talk about God with friends, we share our own thoughts and they share theirs. They all get their turn to decide what we're going to talk about and the things of God that we're going to talk about. So once again, just an invitation to sit and to listen to Jesus, to come to the Lent breakfast, for example, and that will help you to do it. And there are lots of other ways that we can too. The second question, which is a direct question in the passage, is the Pharisees one to Jesus, because they've brought a woman who's been caught, the language is used, they're caught in adultery. And her guilt is in no doubt. You know, she's been caught, it's clear. And the fact that it's happened is not challenged, even and including by Jesus. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, well, what do you say? Now, this is a famous story. And lots of us here have done a bit of church in our time and perhaps read a bit of the Bible in our time. And so we know the answer. Let the one who's without sin cast the first stone. But one of the things we could do, that I could do this Lent, is to spend a moment examining my heart, examining our hearts, and seeing if we live this way. It was clear from the text that the expectation in Jesus' society, according to the law of Moses, was that a woman who had been caught in this way should be stoned on the spot. And the idea that she shouldn't be, that something else should happen, was revolutionary, was scandalous. And I would suggest that even now, in some ways, 2,000 years later, in this tremendously modern and liberal society, which we all enjoy living in so much, I'd suggest it's the same. There are people that we want to see get what they deserve. I mean, there are the obvious ones. We might feel that way about child sex offenders or ISIS or whoever it might be. But there are others who've done far less, but where you and I might breathe violence against them, even if we don't see it through. What do I say? I say, let the one without a really big sin cast the first stone. I say, let the one who's only done the sort of things that I've done cast the first stone. I expect there hasn't been a single talk ever given on this passage where the preacher hasn't said that there's only one person who is qualified to throw stones around, and he is the one kneeling on the ground, drawing lines in the sand with his finger. Next come two questions together. Where are they? Does no one condemn you? Perhaps like you, I don't need to be reminded of the things I've done wrong. Lots of them run in my mind on a sort of loop that starts playing when I'm feeling down and I make a mistake and all my past mistakes come along to say hello to the new one. If someone decided to play my little video of Rob's mistakes on a big screen, you would all have an awful lot of fun watching, but I wouldn't come. You might not enjoy yours playing too much either. Jesus won't allow it. He won't allow the sin of your heart and mind to be held up to public ridicule. He won't allow your past mistakes to define you or to separate you from his love. He has blanked the tape. He says, where are they? Does no one condemn you? Does nothing condemn you? Because no one condemns you, and nothing condemns you. Everything you've ever done wrong, to God, to anyone else, to anything else, has been done away with on the cross. Some people say that Paul's finest letter, I'm never quite convinced you're supposed to say things like that about the Bible, it's all good, isn't it? But Paul's finest letter is the letter to the Romans. And those people say the finest chapter is chapter 8. And chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans declares there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice what Jesus doesn't do here. He doesn't say of the woman's adultery that it didn't happen or that it didn't matter, but he does not condemn her. Her sin is cancelled out by his amazing grace. Nothing can separate us, Romans 8 continues, from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is an amazing thing because it doesn't just meet us where we are, it won't leave us where we are either. In simple terms, it moves us from death to life, from hell to heaven, from judgment to forgiveness, from orphanhood to adoption. And it does it by demanding a response. Go, Jesus says, and sin no more. I wonder if any of you have given up something for Lent. I know people sometimes do. I was talking to a vicar friend the other week who was giving up coffee, except just one in the morning to get her going. I have pondered giving up coffee, and since I was pondering it yesterday, I haven't had one yet. It's 10:25 on Ash Wednesday. I've got that far. And here I am and awake. And I want to ask what you might give up for Lent. And yes, you might have decided to give up coffee or chocolate. Sometimes people give up telly. I gather the Prime Minister's given up crisps. Some of you may have read this. But I wonder if there are more important things still that we might give up. If Jesus were to look at me and my habits and you and yours and say, go and sin no more, what sort of things would he be talking about? He might say it to some people who are judgmental, like the Pharisees, or short-tempered, or envious, or what might it be? I wonder. Jesus says, go and sin no more. Of course, if we're not sure what it might be, we can always do what we were thinking about at the beginning, can't we? We can sit and listen to him for a while. He doesn't say it to the woman because he wants to condemn her, and neither does he want to condemn us. No one can condemn us when we belong to him, but rather he wants the one without sin to cast the first stone, and he's the only one who can do that. And what does he do? What does he say? Well, he's writing in the sand. There's no stone in his hand. Jesus has so much to say to us about the boundless, amazing grace of a God who threw no stones, offered no condemnation, who simply set a broken woman on the road to wholeness and change. Jesus has so much to say to us if we will sit and listen to him. Amen.